Philippians chapter 4, once again, as we conclude the introduction to our messages here, the preparation for prayer. This is, the third point here, and we're going to talk about that exclusively. So far, we've discussed stand fast in the Lord, and we've also discussed rejoice in the Lord. And today, we're going to get into trust in the Lord as we prepare ourselves for a year of prayer. Amen. Maybe we can say sweet year of prayer when we sing that song instead of sweet hour of prayer, right? As we look to that theme of in everything by prayer this year of 2024. If you'll stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God, the first nine verses here in Philippians chapter 4, I'll read the odd verses out loud. You join me out loud on the even verses here in Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I hope you've enjoyed this introduction these last three Sundays. You say, Pastor, this is just ridiculous that it's taken you three Sundays to get through an introduction. Well, I technically call it an introduction. I mean, but they are three standalone messages. Amen. Just having to do all with the preparation of prayer. I don't know if you ever before thought about, as Paul gets into this, I mean, a lot of times we focus on a verse like verse 6, maybe a verse like verse 4, and maybe even a verse like verse 1, in their parts alone, to stand fast in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, and to trust in the Lord as we should. But I hope you're understanding that these have to do with the object and subject of prayer. When we are right with God, when we're in the right mindset, when we have the right attitude toward God and are rooted and grounded in the faith, standing fast in the Lord, when we are in our spirit uplifted and rejoicing in the Lord as we should, right? Then, obviously, you understand that this thing of faith kicks in. And this thing of be careful for nothing kicks in. And again, it's not careless, you know, it's not a concern, if you will, as far as, like, as a father, I might tell my little ones, now be careful, right? That's not that kind of careful. All right. It's the absence of care and anxiety. That's what it means to be careful for nothing. That means I'm not anxious. I'm not fretting. I'm not worried about this. Right. I mean, I love that's another song we're going to talk about. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus. He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Trust fully on his promise. Why worry, 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 when you can
pray.
Right? So that's what this is, right? It's not the concern. It's kind of like the phrase "let go and let God," right? You're not in control. I'm not in control. God's in control. So when we're standing fast in the Lord, and this is why Paul says this to the Philippians, he loves the Philippians, right? They're special to him. He's eloquently and adequately explained that in verse 1. He wants them to be successful in prayer. The Bible tells us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If we want our prayers to be heard, it means that we need to be what we need to be. God said, I am the Lord, I change not. Can I tell you something? God is always ready to receive your prayer. God is always ready to hear you. There is never a time that God is not ready to hear your prayer. So it's not about him. It's not like, can you hear me now? I'm going to borrow an old commercial, okay? No, God's, it's the receptive part. It's not on his side. It's not his shortcoming. It's ours. We need to be prepared for prayer. And let me tell you, folks, I believe this, the church as a whole is not as prepared for prayer as we need to be. You say, well, why aren't we getting our prayers answered? It's on us. It's not on God. He's not the one that has failed. His side is not the one that's not connected. It's ours. We have got to fix this. Paul wanted the Philippians to be heard by God. He wanted them to be ready for the blessings of God, ready to receive the blessings of God. But they had to correct some things. They needed to stand fast in the Lord. They needed to rejoice in the Lord. And they needed to make sure this thing of trusting in the Lord. I told you we'd talk about trust. And if you'd like to, you probably have Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 at least memorized. But I want to look at the first 12 verses of Proverbs chapter 3. So if you want to turn over there, you can. Solomon, the wisest man in all the Bible. Okay? So how do we know that? God promised him that. Okay? God gave him his wisdom. And God gave him his understanding. And he says these things in Proverbs chapter 3. And so when we talk about trusting in the Lord, and this is where this word, be careful for nothing. It's a confidence that is bred by faith in God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We understand that, right? So we're going to talk about that. So really this thing of, okay, stand fast in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord. And then we have this thing of faith is what it is, this thing of preparation. How much do you really believe God? How much do you really trust God to give the answers we need, not the answers we want? You see, there's a difference in that, isn't there? We want things, right, that we want based on our circumstances. But God knows what we need. That's why in the model prayer, which I detest calling it the Lord's Prayer, I only call it that because most people don't understand the difference. The model prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. Okay? That's something we need, right? So, it doesn't say, give us this day our daily new car, our daily, increase in salary, and a daily abundance. And it doesn't say that, does it? Our desires. He said, but God says he'll give us the desires of our heart. Yes, when our heart is with his heart. That's when. Well, that's another subject for another message. I told you, I got 52 weeks of messages on prayer. We're going to go a long way with this thing. You say, is it that broad of a subject? Absolutely. It's probably deeper than that. By the end of the year, I'd like to sing sweet year of prayer, right? I mean, I don't want to say farewell to it. I want to continue it on in the years to come. But listen to me. We've got to understand this thing about trusting God. So when we trust in God, that means I am not even thinking about what's going to happen. Because it's in His hands. And guess what? I'm okay with that. I'm at peace with that. I long for that. I welcome that. And guess what? That helps us to come to a place where all of our trust and all of our care is on His shoulders. Because we believe that He will be what He is. Is He not God? Is He not perfect? Is He not just and holy and, oh, is He not benevolent? Is He not our Heavenly Father? Do we believe that God is going to be mean to us? Is he going to be abusive? I mean, think about these things. Oh, I'd never accuse God of that. Then why don't we trust Him? I love that we sang the song, Trust and Obey. You understand? We've got to trust. That's what it means to trust God. I mean, we could do the whole, you know, the you know, fall back into the crowds, the you know, those drills that people do at work and all that stuff. That's what it should be like. Just take no thought for your life, right? That doesn't mean be careless. It just means that you trust God. So there you there in Proverbs. Look at what Solomon says to his son. Again, Solomon is writing these things so that Rehoboam will do right, right? You understand, Rehoboam has everything going for him and he blew it. Just like we do. Folks, we have everything going for us. And over again, we don't trust God like we should. We don't follow His ways, His word. We don't follow what He says. We do our own thing. That's human nature. Anyways, he's writing to Rehoboam. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So that's the first part of it that he talks about. Is that, would that be kind of accounted to stand fast in the Lord? It would be. And to have the favor of God and good understanding in the sight of God is what we all should want to have. And then he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. As Rehoboam was considering what to do with the nation, the old men that were his father's counselors told him what to do. They gave him wise counsel. They said, hey, lighten up a little bit. Your dad pressed these folks pretty hard. If you'll lighten up, they'll serve you all your days. Then he went to his peers, the young men. And they said, no, put the hammer down. That's in the Greek, by the way, or Hebrew. I guess it'd be the Hebrew. They said, no, press them a little more. Show them who is boss. Rip that kingdom apart. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to lean not unto our own understanding. So Solomon told his son, he said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. And then he says this in verse 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So Solomon is saying, look, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. You say, that's not what it says. No, that is what it says. We are wholly and totally trusting in God for the results. When you trust somebody, you let your request be made known, and then you trust what they're going to say. You do what they're going to say. Knowing that, okay, I may have made this request, but they gave me this, and that must be what I need, so I'm good. I'm okay. I'm happy. I can rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, but I didn't get what I want. When? I wanted a blue one, not a red one. God, why'd you give me a red one? I wanted a blue one. Right? That's not good enough. But it is good enough. But where does our mind make the transition between what I want or what He wants? When we trust in the Lord. With what? All. I've told you 100 times, I'll tell it to you till the day I die probably. All is the biggest little word in the Bible. It's just a little tiny word. But it's expansive, is it not? All our heart. That's why, parents, I encourage you to never, ever, 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 ever tell your children to follow their heart. Why? The heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. It's against God. We need to pray for a new heart. Where does that come from? It comes from God. Remember what it says? I just told it to you. The Bible says, He shall give you the desires of your heart. Yes, when it lines up with the heart of Christ. When our heart is His heart, that's when we get the right things. Because until then, whence cometh fightings and wars and not right? Because ye lust. Remember we just talked about that in James chapter 4. Because our heart, just the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it's ingrained in us. It's all we know. Why do you think Solomon told his son, hey, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Give it to Him. Lean not unto your own understanding. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. We know the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And He delighteth in His way. That's God's way. That's what it is. That God's path, God's ways, those are the ways that we need to follow. Lean not into the Lord. He goes on here in Proverbs chapter 3. Listen to this. Be not wise in thine own eyes. What did Solomon ask God for when God spoke to him? Wisdom. But then again, folks, not man's wisdom. God's wisdom. Solomon said, I don't know how to deal with these people. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to rule over them. God, will you do it for me? Show me, God, how to deal with this. Give me the wisdom how to deal with this, these people, because I want to be what you want to be, me to be as a leader of your people. Folks, we need to understand that God's wisdom far exceeds any wisdom we can come up with on our own. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. When we begin to think like God, when we renew our minds as we ought to, when we take a step back from a situation and view it how God would view it, things look a lot different, don't they? That's what it means. He says, lean not unto thine own eyes. Be not wise in thine own eyes. He says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. He says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Neither be weary in His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. Does that have to do with be careful for nothing? It does. Because sometimes those answers are not what we want, and we don't rebel against what God said. We trust in the Lord with all of our heart. So as we try to understand this thing of not being full of care, not being anxious, being exposed to concern and anxiety of trouble, not being full of the cares of this world, but trusting the Lord. Be careful for nothing. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what circumstances come up in my life. You're right. I don't know what circumstances come up in your life. And it may be the most difficult circumstance that anyone has ever had to deal with in history. And yes, I care about it. I'm sorry that you're going through that circumstance. I'm sure it's a difficult circumstance. But I can promise you this, it's not an unbearable circumstance. You say, Pastor, you don't know the magnitude of it. Oh, I know the magnitude of it. I know the magnitude of it is just below what you can bear. You say, how can you promise that? Because God did. God said He would not give us anything that we are not able to bear. And He'll make a way of an escape for us. You understand that we have a benevolent God. You say, well, how can you put all that together? Because you've not been there. You don't know what I've been through. You're right, I don't know. But I've been through what I've been through. And you've been through and are going through what you're going through. And guess what? I'm not you and you're not me. But our God is the constant. His promises are true. Our decision is, are we going to trust Him or not? Can you say like Paul? I was in the Navy, but I was never shipwrecked. Paul's in the midst of a storm. Everyone's going to die. That's what they thought. We're going down in this hurricane. Euroclodon. I love that. That's a cool name. Sirs, be of good cheer. What? There's that nutty Baptist preacher again. For I believe God. He said, angel spoke to me. He told me that everyone in the ship will be spared. What? You're nuts. No, I believe God. He told me He's going to do that. God has told us in His Word, hey, look, make your requests be made known. And the peace of, look at verse 7. And the peace of God, oh, we have to go back to our text, passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Right? That's a mind blower. We have that in Him. I'm not downplaying or belittling your circumstances. They are great. I'm trying to magnify the greatness of our God. He is greater than your circumstances. He is more than enough to supply your every need, to take care of you, to make your way of escape, to make it something that's going to be to His honor and glory. That's the God. That's why I can, if you will, be carefree, or be the way that I am, if you will. You know me, I'm kind of the glass is always full kind of guy. You know, because even a glass half full is actually full. I've told you that before. Here, you want to see a glass? There's water in here. It's about there. You say, well, it's only half full. No, this part is full of water, and this part is full of air. So the glass is actually full. The glass is always full. If I drink water out of it, That was fun. Now it's, you say, Pastor, the glass is empty. No, the glass is full. You say, you're a nut. Thank you very much. It's full of air. The state of the glass did not change, if you will. The glass still is holding the same amount of everything that is hold. It's just holding a different substance now. So it depends on our state of mind, our thinking. Hey, I need to trust God. I don't need to be burdened down and drugged down and chained down by the cares of this world. Folks, the world's going to be what the world is. The curse of sin is what the curse of sin is. Those things are not going to change. But so is the grace of God, what it is, and the mercy of God, what it is, and the benevolence of God, what it is, and the promises of God, what they are. I think I'm going to attach myself to these instead of these. Because these are going to drag me down, and these are going to lift me up. What are you attached to? How can we live in this world if we're chained down by the things of this world? God wants us to be set free. How are we set free? Be careful for nothing. Go over to Daniel. Let me give you an instance in Scripture of some guys that were set free. Over in the book of Daniel, we have these three Hebrew children, right? Chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? These guys, great guys, right? Top-notch guys. Daniel and these three guys were kind of the names of the time, right? Defying all odds. Refusing the king's meat, right? Standing fast. You got Daniel in the lion's den. You got these guys standing before the king. In verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar makes this defying statement. Who is this God? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? I love Nebuchadnezzar. You need to study this man in his life. Remember the time where he's set out to pasture as an animal? Yeah, really cool story. Okay? Anyways, why? Because of his pride. You can see his pride oozing out of him. Who is this God that has delivered you out of my hands, King Nebuchadnezzar? Do you notice what these gentlemen say? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not, here's that word, careful. Do you believe that God writes in Scripture the words that He wants to write? Here in Philippians, we see the Bible tell us, be careful for nothing. Same word. We're not careful to answer thee, O King, to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And then they go on and say, and He will deliver us out of your hands. They answered His question. Did you notice that? Who is that God? Hey King, we don't even have to think about this. We don't even have to ponder this. We're not anxious. We're not full of care. We don't even have to. Can you give us a harder question on this test of life, please? This is too easy. We are so trusting in what God is and who God is and what He can do that if it's by death we're with Him, we're okay with that. But regardless, we will be delivered from that furnace and we will be delivered from your hands because He's God and you're not. Folks, we can live this way in our lives today. Why are you tormented by the things of this world? Why are you tormented by the circumstances in life? Hey, they're for His purpose. Trust Him. Anxiety, depression, those are all tools of the devil to chain you to this world. You do not have to succumb to them. You don't. How do we not succumb to them? Trust in Him. Rely on Him. Know Him and who He is. And guess what? All those cares will be swept away. The Scriptures give us all of the evidences. Psalm 31. David said, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." You know what David is? David is pleading on the character of God to save him out of his distresses. Let me ask you a question. Can you trust the character of God? Oh, yes. Can anybody think of a greater character that we could trust? No. So, you know what David's banking on? He's putting all his marbles in one basket. You know what basket that is? God's basket. He's saying, "God, I'm trusting you. I'm putting it all in your care." He says, "Pull me out of the net, for they have laid for me privily for me, for Thou art my strength. Into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth." Again, David is expressing who this God is and His character. He says, "I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in Thy mercy, for Thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room." Psalm 37, David again says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." What does that sound like to you, folks? It sounds like trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. It sounds like be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, right? That's what it sounds like to me. God wants us to trust in Him. If you'd like to take your Bibles, turn over to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to get into Matthew chapter 6 later on. I've gone over it before. Speaking of that model prayer. But toward the end of the chapter, he talks about this attitude, this preparation for prayer, this thing of standing fast in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord, and trusting in the Lord. He says this in verse 25, Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Be careful for nothing. I guess it's the self-preservation feature in us to want to, for us to want to take matters into our own hands, right? Probably one of the hardest things to do is to let go. Isn't it? That's faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's that, hey, God, I need you. That's hard to say. It's hard for us, isn't it? That we need God. But we do need God. Him being the source of all things, we need Him. Folks, we can't. Whatever it is, we can't. Because we are but flesh. We are weak. We are finite. He is infinite. We are not able to, but our God is able. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego couldn't deliver themselves out of the fiery furnace. They weren't strong enough. There was no way they could overpower those guards. There was no way that their physical bodies could withstand the temperatures of that furnace. The men that threw them in the furnace died. Just from the heat blast. When that door was opened, that furnace being heated 7 times hotter than it should have been. I'm just telling you, they couldn't. But they knew that God could. We've got to get to this place. He says, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat. God will sustain you. What ye shall drink, God will sustain you. Nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on, God will sustain you. Is not the life more than meat? It is, isn't it? Is it not more than raiment? Yeah, it is. But we're constricted to our human thought. That's why Solomon said, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he, what is it? That's trust in the Lord. No dependence here. All dependence there. That's what God wants from us. You understand that the cares of this world keep us from being successful. Remember Peter, as he's in the boat, the storms are blowing up all about and around him. A difficult time. Matthew chapter 14, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when their evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. In this passage of scripture, our text of Philippians 4, Paul's saying, look, I know the ship is in a storm. I know these things are difficult for you, O Philippians. my dear friends, my loved ones, my joy, my crown, my glory. He says, look, Jesus is saying, be of good cheer. He's here for you. He wants to sustain you and supply for you. But you've got to stand fast in the Lord. You've got to rejoice in the Lord. And you've got to trust in the Lord. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. I'm trying to connect the dots for you here. Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, right? Jesus tells us to call upon him. He tells us to pray. He tells us to do these things. He says, look, he said, hey, Peter said, if it be thou, Lord, bid me come unto thee. He's already bidden us. We're supposed to come boldly before his throne of grace. It's him. Get out of the ship. Walk on the water. Be careful for nothing. In everything by prayer. Are you seeing the correlation here between these two scriptures? This is what God wants for us. To make our requests known unto him. To come unto him. And look what happens. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he did walk on the water. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. He is on his way. Doing something supernatural. Just like we are when we make our requests known unto him. But what happens? But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? We'll go back to our text this morning and we'll be done with the introduction. Finally. How close do we get to the Lord before the cares of this life raise their ugly head and stop us? I love what the scripture says, you know, who hath hindered you, right? Who's kept you from following after God with all your heart and being careful for nothing? Then those cares just rear up their ugly heads and chain you back down to the things of this life. It doesn't have to be that way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Take literally what Paul says. Be careful for no thing. Nothing. For no thing. Don't let those winds and those waves get your eyes off of Jesus. As we approach his throne, we're in the throne room of God. Almighty God. As we walk toward him, do you know that there's nothing else in that room that should warrant our attention? Think about Peter getting out of that boat. There's this thing out here, this Jesus, this person he knows. He knows his voice. It's obviously something unique because they thought it was a spirit, right? Something unique. Hey, listen, that's cooler than the waves. That's cooler than the wind. Why? I mean, I'm going to be locked on here. You know, drawn to the light. Don't go toward the light. No, that's what, What's going to draw your... I mean, I'm a guy that's distracted. You know, a squirrel. What? You know, what's more important than the throne of God and God sitting on His throne? What's going to take your eyes off of Him? Who cares for you? Who provides for you? Who wants the best for you? Whose promises are true? Whose understanding is infinite? Whose wisdom is infinite? Higher than our thoughts? What? What can drag you away? What can deter you from casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you? Entering into His rest. I mean, what kept Peter from going to Jesus saying, "Oh, Jesus, You're here. Let's go back to the ship." You know, I mean, what? How? How are we dragged back to that time after time? Away from our Savior, our God, the one we love, the one we're standing fast in, the one we're rejoicing in, and the one that has all of our trust. Every single bit. That's why I can fully say my life is His. And if it means death, it means death. At His time. I'm not worried about it. But your family, but your wife, but the church, what are we going to do without you? Oh, God will give you another pastor. So you're really cavalier about that. No, I'm not cavalier. I'm confident in my God. It's His purpose. It's His doing. It's all His. I'm getting on that. I'm walking on that water. Jesus, oh, thank You for being here. The throne room of God, come before His throne. Oh, God, thank You for being here in this time in my life, in this circumstance. These are my requests being made known unto You. Blinders. Be careful for nothing.